first four, but we're going to work through all the way to 11. Amen? All right, when you have it, please say amen. John 15, chapter 1. John 15, chapter 1. I'm sorry, John 15, verse 1. You were with me. And it reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. The word of God for the people of God. So here we have Jesus who is in the upper room, and he is speaking to his disciples as he prepares to go to Calvary. And so it starts back in chapter 13 where he's talking about where he washes their feet. Right? Like he bends down and he washes their feet to show them what servant leadership is, to show what it means to be a servant, right? And then he goes on in chapter 14 and he talks about the comforter and how the comforter will come. And in chapter 14, verse 15 and 16, he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So today I want to talk to you about abiding in the vine and truly being present in the vine. And so when we talk about in verse 2 where he talks about God is the husbandman, God is the farmer. He uses this metaphor with the vine that produces grapes, right? Fruit. And he talks about how God is the one who farms the vine. But Jesus is the vine, right? So Jesus is the vine, but in order to have fruit, you have to have what? Branches. And so we, all of us in here, are the branches. Those of you online, you are a branch. Can y'all say, I am a branch? I am a branch. That's right. And so as we work through this, we got to understand what a branch is. It's a limb. And it is something that extends from the vine. And so the vine has what's called sap in the natural. The sap goes through the vine and it takes and carries nutrients. It's like a circulatory system that takes nutrients to the branches. Something like that blood of Jesus, huh? Right? And so we have this vine that transitions I guess, in spiritual ingredients to the branches. And as that spiritual ingredient comes, we produce fruit. But we cannot produce fruit if we are not connected or, in this case, abiding with the vine. And so when it comes to abiding means to dwell. It means to stay. We are not created to disconnect or to leave the vine. We are created to stay in the vine. We are created to abide, to dwell in the vine. And so when we are branches that maybe wilt or start not producing things, the Bible says that it lifts the branches up to try to expose it more to the light, to the sun. But in the case that doesn't work, the branches are broken off, thrown into a pile, and burned. And so a lot of us are maybe going through a process of something new, where maybe it's difficult to abide in the Lord 24/7. It's been hard to just connect and to stay connected. Or maybe it's easy for you. Maybe you are connecting to the vine each and every day. That's not hard, but unfortunately or fortunately, we all have a need of Christ. Regardless of where you are, we all have a need. Whether we have been doing this for 30 years or 5 months, we all have a need to abide with him. Because remember, he goes from glory to glory, right? And so as we continue to walk through this, it also goes to the next verse 3, where he says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you." So he has cleaned us. But how do you think God cleans us? It says, "Who cleans the fruit-bearing vine?" So we would think that Jesus cleans the vine, but it's actually God. It's the vine dresser. God cleans us. He cleans us through the word of God. And so unless we're connected to the word of God and we're giving the word of God to our spirits each and every day, we can't be cleansed or purged or pruned. And so with being pruned, it hurts sometimes because God is trying to take those things that are not like him out of you. And we want to hold on to those things because it's easy and it's comfortable. And he's just trying to get us to transform. He's trying to get us to go to the next level. And we're like, "Nah, Lord, like I'm going to stay right here." We stay stagnant, for the lack of a better word. And so the vine, if the vine is left to itself to grow itself, it doesn't grow. It can do nothing without God. We can do nothing without the Lord. And so my commentary said, for maximum growth, extensive pruning is essential and necessary. It is necessary and it's essential for maximum growth is extensive pruning. So when you're crying about what the Lord is trying to take out of your life, it has to be extensive. So just expect for it to be extensive. Don't expect for anything less because he's a great God. And if he's a great God and he birthed each and every one of you and created each and every one of you, he's calling us to be great as well. And so that's a pruning process that we have to go through. And so he's telling the disciples that you cannot grow without me. Do not disconnect me. He's preparing them so that they can go on to tell, and I'm getting ahead of myself, so they can go on to tell everybody else the same thing, the same message. And so when we talk about the dead wood, if we have dead wood, it's worse than being fruitless. So being a dead branch is worse than producing bad fruit, because at least you're connected to the vine when you're producing bad fruit. But if you're completely spiritually dead, that's just cut off, period. He will cut you off from the church and say, "You can't grow here." And I'm saying the universal church, not necessarily Christ Unveiled, but from the universal church, he will cut you off and say, "Oh, you can't grow," and put you in a pile. So as he's speaking to the disciples, he has informed them that they have already been cleaned. They've walked with him for 3 years. In his ministry, he has given them the tools that they need in order to go on and to go forward, right? And so as he's going with them and he's walking with them, he's like, "I've already cleaned you. I've already made you what I needed to make you. All you have to do is produce and act." And so to each and every one of us, wherever we are in our walk with Christ, God is cleaning us right now. He's given us the tools and the resources to be able to walk in whatever it is he's calling us to walk in, the action steps, the producing of the fruit that we're supposed to produce. And so he's already done it. So we have to receive that he's already done it and walk in that way and make sure that we're abiding each and every day in that vine. Verse 4 and 5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." And so when we talk about much fruit, it's not just talking about the quantity. The quality of fruit is greater. It's not just about how much fruit we produce. It's about the quality. Have you ever had a really good grape? And you're like, "Ooh, that was good." You know, that grape was produced because of the ingredient, the nutrients that came through it. It was juicy, right? It tastes so good. It's the quality of the group. But maybe the rest of them wasn't that good, you know? So we want to make sure that we understand that this fruit produces not just great in number, but great in quality. Great in quality. And so what is the price of not abiding? What's the price of not abiding in the promise and not abiding in the vine? Man, the price is real, right? But before I get into what the price is, the price that we pay from not abiding, what are some things that can keep us from abiding? There could be, you know, something, we all say sin. We've said that plenty of times. Sin can keep us from abiding in the vine. On Friday I did, we have, at our school, we have to be trauma informed and we have to do a child maltreatment, you know, training. So I did this training and I realized that there was so much discomfort throughout the crowd as we were talking about the things of stuff that happens to kids in their childhood. And by the end of it, about 20 out of 38 people were crying. And I was like, had no idea. I was like, okay, we want to pray for everybody. So we prayed. But that's something that happened to you as a kid, not having a father in your life or a mother, drugs, alcohol that you were exposed to, those things can keep you from connecting to the vine. Because if you, the people that were supposed to keep you safe didn't, it's hard to trust a God that you can't necessarily see in the natural. And so how do you expect me to abide in this vine when all this stuff happened to me when I was younger and the people that were assigned to take care of me didn't? How do I abide in the vine? And God is saying, I am your father. What you didn't have when you were a child, I have everything. So come to me, abide with me, dwell with me, so that I can give you what you've never experienced before. Those of us who grew up with parents, God still gives me more than they could ever give me. God still loves me more than they could ever love me because it was him that placed me in my mother's womb. He chose to have Tierra come into the world, right? And so when it comes to that, we've got to be sure and understand that God is our father. He is our number one father. And so anything else in the natural that's happened, it doesn't matter. Because we're going to live spiritually, eternally, whether we're in hell or heaven. We're going to live eternally in the spirit. So everything in the natural doesn't matter. But what matters is the spirit. And so he's saying in the spirit realm, if we abide in this vine that we're connected to, if we abide with Jesus, we will produce good fruit, right? So as we move on, Jesus says, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we're obedient, I'm still getting ahead of myself, we will keep his commandments. Love is an obedience. So getting back, let me back up, y'all. The price of not abiding, it says the branches that do not abide in him are cast out and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. Jesus warned his disciples that failing to abide in him means that that life fails. So if you imagine cultivating, you know, this vine and getting all the branches that don't bear fruit or that are broken, you go take them off and you put them in a pile. And you keep putting them in the pile until your vine has good branches that are connected, that are receiving those ingredients, the blood of Jesus. And then what do you do with this pile? It's for no use. So you burn it. And it disintegrates, right? So I don't want to be a branch that burns in the pile. I'm sure none of us want to be a branch that burn in the pile. We want to be a branch that produces good fruit. But that is the price that we pay if we don't abide. Amen. God comes to Christ Unveiled every single Sunday to give us a message, every Wednesday to give us a message about what it means to walk with the Lord. What it means to receive the word, to know the gospel, and to take it out to the world. God comes every single week. But unfortunately, some of us are still walking in this way without him. And so what more does God have to do? He wakes you up every morning. He gives you an opportunity to live, to breathe. But what are we doing? Are we abiding? Are we truly taking our time to walk with him, to know the gospel, and then to give it to somebody else? Is that our mission and our purpose each and every day? Now, how you do it is not going to be the same as the person next to you, right? It's not going to be the same. Because God gave you a specific purpose that's according and aligned with your likeness. But we all have the same goal. He knows who abides and who doesn't. So it's not like he can't see everything that we do. Nobody has to point out your faults because he knows. And you know whether you're abiding or not. But whether or not you're abiding has nothing to do with your fruit. You might be trying to abide, but you're producing bad fruit because you're not fully adhering to the word of God. It's like a sprinkle here, a sprinkle there, and then your own words. Right? Not fully abiding, producing bad fruit. Or we are connected to the branch, connected to the vine, and we are producing good fruit. And we're pouring out, right? And that fruit is coming forth. And sometimes we just plant seeds, y'all. Sometimes we're just a seed planter. Sometimes we don't get to see the fruit of what we planted. But that's not our job. It's not our responsibility. Because we're not the person that grows. God is. He grows the people. We plant the seeds. We get absolutely no credit. So abiding in him means that abiding in his words and having his words live in the disciples, so in us. The connection is maintained by obedience and prayer. David Guzik, I studied from him this time as well. He said something that I want us to kind of marinate on. Whether or not it's true, it's commentary. We don't know. But I think it's a good thing to bring up. He said, a failure to see prayers answered means something is not right in the disciples' relationship. Perhaps something is not right in the abiding, and prayers are amiss and unanswered. Or in the asking of the question. So let me go back. So perhaps something is not right in the abiding, and prayers are amiss and unanswered because the relationship's not right with the disciple. And so I thought about that, and I was like, man, is that true? I don't really know. But I have times where I will go to God in prayer, and he will answer immediately. And I'm like, whoa, like, God, was that you? And then there's other times where I pray and I have to wait. And I'm like, okay, Lord, am I not doing something right? Like, what's happening? I can't hear you. I can't see you, right? And so he says, I go to sit in the quiet. And then sometimes he'll open up my ear gates and I can hear and I can see and feel. But it takes time, right? But I just thought that was an interesting point, you know, from the commentary. And you can have your own opinion about it. I don't know if that's true. But I do know that there are times where the Lord answers immediately and there are times where he doesn't. And I do check myself. I check my branch. Am I connected? Am I abiding? Right? And so we make sure that we're doing that. And then in our abiding, as we cling to him, we will bear much fruit, going back to the quantity and the quality. So as we get it ready to go into the last piece of it, verse 9 and 11 say, nine through 11, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So as the Father loved him, he loved us. And so Jesus then retracted that same love to the disciples. right? And protecting, he did this through protecting them, through using his power and authority to do things for them. Jesus reciprocated what God gave to him to all the disciples so it could then be reciprocated unto all of us. And so again, going back to the Father and God being our Father and being what we need, right? God loved Jesus. It was a father-son relationship. Jesus was a part of him. He was him in the flesh. And I kind of questioned and I said, why not a mother's love? Like, a mother carries the baby. Why do we say a father's love? Well, it talks about how, you know, God loved, or the Father loves unconditionally. This is his son. This is his legacy. This is the next generation. So back in biblical times, they say that this father-son relationship times were the bedrock of society. It was vital for economic stability, religious continuation, and social order. It was a bond that went beyond familiar affection, but rested on a deep sense of responsibility, legacy, and a reflection of the divine relationship between God the Father and God the Son. That relationship is so important. And so what God reciprocated to Jesus, Jesus reciprocated to the disciples reciprocated it to the people of God. That same love. And so he sent his son to die for us. How many of us would die for the people? Right? And so he said, the Father loved the Son with a love that has no beginning and no end. That is close and personal, without measure and unchanging. He loves us so much that he just wants to be connected to you. He wants us to have this intimate relationship with one another. He wants us to sit with him daily and to hear him clearly and to walk with him throughout our entire day. And so from the time that we get up in the morning to the time that we lay down at night, he wants to have relationship with us. He wants to walk with us and talk to us. Abide, dwell. It's like having an imaginary friend walking with you all day, every day. Sometimes I'm talking to myself at home or at work and they're like, well, who you talk to? Well, I talk to the Lord or myself. Between me and the Lord. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants us to, he's a God that loves with no beginning, with no end, without measure. Think about just the measure. That is beyond what we could ever ask or think. And that's how he loves us. And that's how much he desires us. And that's how much he wants us. A father that will sit with you in your moments of pain, that will talk to you when you need some guidance, that will dance with you when you're happy and you have joy. A father who just simply wants you to abide and connect. But if it comes down to if we keep his commandments and if we keep his word, we've got to keep his word. But Pastor Lincoln talks about this all the time. If the word isn't in us, we don't know him. If we're not reading the word, we don't know him. If we're not walking with the word, we're not abiding. We're disconnected and we're a branch that will be broken off. So keeping his commandments, in order to do that, we got to know what the commandments are. We got to know what we should do and what we shouldn't do. That's in the word. We've got to know how to listen for his voice. And so as we produce that fruit, as we get connected to his word and we begin to obey his command and obey the things that he tells us to do in the Bible, and I'm not just talking about sin, y'all. Like, we know what the sins are. We know what we shouldn't do. But what should we do? Follow that part. And that'll help you stay away. I know that, you know, everyone's not righteous. We're not perfect. But the biblical meaning of perfect is being complete in Jesus. So if I have Jesus in me, then I am then perfect. And I'm not fully righteous. I haven't made it there yet, but I can strive for righteousness. I can run the race of trying to be righteous and ask for forgiveness when I need to. So as we produce fruit, others eat thereof. And as they eat the fruit, hopefully they'll share it with someone else. And that's what it's all about, is taking it to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation to keep Christ alive and well. And so maybe someone in here needs to cry out to the Lord and say, God, I want to abide in you. God, I want to be in your presence at all times. I want to feel your spirit at all times. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's not. Maybe you do abide in him. Maybe everything's all good. But I beg you to know and remember at all times that we don't want to be spiritually dead. We don't want to disconnect from the vine. Because the price that we pay is being thrown into the pile and burned. That's the price that we pay. And so I pray that we would connect to it and that we would teach others to connect and to dwell within him. And all the things that maybe you couldn't control in your life that maybe keeps you from getting closer to the Lord, that you would ask God to remove those things. Because he will. There may be a barrier that's in the way of your relationship with God. There may be a barrier that's keeping you from fully connecting. But remember, in that connection, his Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, flows through you at all times. So we must connect and abide, dwell, and stay in him at all times. Difficult, but not impossible. Difficult, but not impossible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, Lord, we come to you in surrender, oh God. We come to you, Lord, letting you know that we want and desire to abide in you, Jesus. We want to dwell within you, Lord. We want to stay connected to you at all times. We want to hear your voice, God, and we want to be guided by you, Jesus. And so, Lord, as we get ready to leave this place, Lord God, and those of us online, I just pray that you would touch everyone in this room and beyond this room, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, oh Lord. And that they would learn, God, what it means to connect to you, and that they would be a branch that bears fruit, Lord. A branch that has life, spiritual life, Lord. Because we can walk around in the natural, but still be disconnected from the vine. And so, God, I just pray that you would have your way, Lord, in each and every person's life, Lord, that you would, again, set your spirit right in alignment with theirs. So as we leave this place, we take this word with us to abide in you. And we give it to someone else, oh God, so that they can learn to abide as well. And to produce not just many fruit, God, but good quality fruit, God. God, we are so thankful for you. We honor you in your name. It is in your Son, Jesus' name, that we lift up these things. Amen.
Amen. It's important to abide in the vine. We are the branches. If we don't abide, we don't grow. We don't produce the fruit that we need to produce in order to share the gospel, share the love of God to a dead and dying world. Amen. Let's continue to abide in Jesus. Amen. Please give Sister Tierra a hand for ministering the word of God and reminding us to abide. If you haven't given already, we need your support. Those that have given, we thank you so much. We thank those that have joined us by webcast. We hope to see you in the next service. Communion is coming up August 31st. We're going to do it both services. So please support us and be here for communion on August 31st. Baptism is going to be scheduled. And if you or your child would like to be baptized, please see Sister Lincoln, Pastor Lincoln, or Ike, Brother Ike. Last but not least, we want to thank those that invited friends and family to service last week. We appreciate that very, very much. Tell them that the door is always open and that they can come back if they don't have a church home, because this is where the word of God is preached and ministered and the love of God is shared abroad. Amen. If you would stand, let's be dismissed. Say a quick prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy toward us. We thank you, Father, for your word this morning. Continue, Father, to remind us to abide in you. As we lay down at night and wake in the morning, we ask that your spirit be ever so sensitive on our hearts and minds. Wake us up with a worship song, Lord God, so that we can continue and start our day off right, abiding in you. We ask that you be with us throughout the rest of this week. We bless your holy name, and we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.